Welcome back. You are listening to the module called Deploy and Manage Azure Compute Resources, the compute track for the Azure Administrator Certification, the one people refer to as AZ-104. This is episode 2 of 8, and it is titled Virtual Machines, Anatomy and Provisioning. In episode 1, you learned when a virtual machine is the right tool for the job. Today we open the box. Because here is the first thing to understand. A VM is never just a VM. Every deployment silently creates a small graph of resources around it, and each of those resources has its own lifecycle, its own cost, and its own security implications. Administrators who do not understand this anatomy end up with orphan disks that bill forever, public IP addresses that nobody remembers opening, and machines that look switched off but are still charging compute by the hour. All of that is avoidable, and by the end of this episode you will know how. Let us start with the anatomy. When you deploy a single virtual machine, Azure creates or expects you to supply 5 separate first-class resources wired together. Resource 1 is the VM object itself, and it is mostly just compute configuration, the size, the image reference, the admin account, the availability options. Everything else lives beside it. Resource 2 is the operating system disk. This is a managed disk, created from the image. Azure stores it as a replicated object in its storage backend, and crucially, it survives independently. Delete the VM, and the disk can outlive it. Resource 3 is the network interface, the NIC. This is the machine's attachment point to a subnet in a virtual network. A VM must have at least one. Resource 4 is a public IP address, and it is optional. It attaches to the network interface if you want direct inbound reachability from the internet. And note this well, many production machines correctly have none at all. Resource 5 is the Network Security Group, the NSG, a stateful firewall of allow and deny rules, associated either at the network interface level or at the subnet level or both. Why does this anatomy matter? Because each resource is managed and billed separately. You can detach a network interface, swap an operating system disk, or delete a VM while keeping its disk for forensics. The flip side is that cleanup is your job. Deleting a machine in a hurry, and leaving its disk, its network interface, and its public IP behind, is the single most common source of cloud clutter. Next topic, sizes. Azure has hundreds of VM sizes, but the naming scheme makes them readable once you know the code. Take the size called standard D4SV5, read it fragment by fragment. The letter D is the family, general purpose. The number 4 is the count of virtual CPUs. The little letter S means premium storage capable. This size can attach premium SSD disks, and V5 is the generation of the family. The family letter is the part worth memorizing, because it tells you the specialty, and here is the memory hook, the letter says what it does. B for burstable, credit-based sizes for dev, test, and low-traffic sites. D for default, general purpose, web servers, and small databases. E for extra memory, caches and in-memory analytics. F for fast CPU, compute optimized, batch and build agents. L for lots of local disk, storage optimized. N for NVIDIA, the GPU sizes, machine learning and rendering. And M for massive memory, the giants that run SAP HANA. Read the letter, hear the meaning. Two more lowercase letters you will meet. A little D in the name means the size includes a local temp disk. And be careful, in newer generations, sizes without the D often have no temp disk at all. The letters A or P indicate AMD or ARM-based processors. And one architecture note that connects sizes to service levels. The single VM service level agreement of 99.9% applies only when all of the machine's disks are premium SSD or ultra disks. Which means it requires a premium storage capable size, an S size, in the first place. A size without the S can never carry that SLA. Quick exercise. You inherit a machine called standard E8SV5, decoded in your head. E, memory optimized. 8, virtual CPUs. S, premium storage capable. 5th generation. And a second machine, standard F4. F, compute optimized. 4 virtual CPUs. No S, so no premium storage. And no version suffix, so the original generation. Which one can qualify for the single VM service level agreement? Only the E8SV5. The F4 cannot even attach the premium disks that the SLA requires, Now, images, which is where the operating system comes from. Three sources, in increasing order of ownership. First, the Azure Marketplace, with images published by Microsoft and partners. Ubuntu, Windows Server, Red Hat, appliances. Zero maintenance for you. Second, custom images. You build a machine, configure it and capture it. But understand, you now own the patching and rebuilding of that image. Third, the Azure Compute Gallery, which is the professional home for custom images. It gives you versioning, replication across regions, and sharing across subscriptions and tenants. The rule, if more than one team or one region consumes your image, it belongs in a gallery. Whatever the source, an image is either generalized or specialized, and confusing the two is a classic provisioning failure. A generalized image has had its machine identity stripped out, with the sysprep tool on Windows, or the agent deprovision command on Linux. Hostname, accounts, security identifiers, all removed. When you deploy from it, Azure runs a provisioning step, and you supply a new hostname and new admin credentials. A specialized image keeps its identity as is. It boots as an exact clone, with no provisioning step. The rule of thumb, many machines from one template, use generalized. An exact copy of this one machine, use specialized. And remember, deploying a specialized image twice into the same network gives you duplicate hostnames. On to provisioning. The Portal Wizard is fine for one-off exploratory deployments, but nobody remembers which of the 40 checkboxes they ticked last month. The Azure command line makes the deployment a reviewable artifact. The core command is VM create. You give it a resource group, a name, a location, an image such as Ubuntu 2204, a size, an admin username, and the flag generate SSH keys. But know what the defaults do. If you do not specify them, the VM create command invents a virtual network, a subnet, a public IP address, and a network security group all on its own. That is wonderful for a lab, and wrong for production. In production, you pass your existing network explicitly, and you suppress the public IP by passing an empty value for the public IP address parameter. Convenience defaults are exactly how accidental internet exposure happens. A word on authentication. For Linux, this is barely a debate. SSH keys are the right answer, always. A key is effectively not guessable. It is never typed over the wire. And the generate SSH keys flag creates or reuses a local key pair transparently. Passwords remain the norm for Windows and its remote desktop protocol, where you compensate with strong secrets and, above all, no public exposure. Episode 3 shows how Bastion and Just-in-Time Access remove the exposed port entirely. Inside every Azure-created machine runs the VM agent, the platform's hands inside the guest operating system. It powers extensions, which are packaged operations you trigger from outside. Two matter most. The custom script extension downloads and runs a script, the standard way to bootstrap software after deployment, and run command which sends a script through the Azure control plane. Read that again, through the control plane, not through the network. So it works even when the network path is broken, when an NSG rule locks you out, or you lost the SSH key. It is a lifesaver for lockouts. For Linux first boot configuration, prefer cloud init. It is a declarative file, processed during the very first boot, earlier and more repeatably than a bolted-on script. You describe packages to install and services to enable, and pass the file at creation time with the custom data parameter. The rule of thumb to carry. Cloud init for birth, extensions for life. Initial configuration at first boot in cloud init. Later interventions through extensions or run command. And now the most expensive misunderstanding in all of VM administration. Power states and billing. Listen carefully, because this one shows up on the exam and on real invoices. Shutting down the operating system does not stop the meter. When you shut down from inside the guest, or use the VM stop command, the machine enters the state called stopped. The hardware allocation on the host is retained, and compute billing continues. To stop paying for compute, the machine must reach the state called stopped deallocated, using the VM deallocate command, or the portal stop button, which does deallocate. Only deallocation releases the hardware and stops the compute charges. Deallocation has side effects, precisely because the machine leaves its physical host. The temp disk is wiped, more on that in episode 3. And a dynamic public IP address may change on the next start. Also note, even deallocated, the managed disks keep billing, and a static public IP keeps billing too. A stopped estate is cheaper, not free. Picture the classic incident. Friday evening, an admin connects to a Windows machine and shuts it down from the start menu. Monday morning, the cost report shows compute charges for the entire weekend. Why? Guess shutdown means stopped, not deallocated. The fix was one command, VM deallocate. And even then, the bill would not be zero, because the disks keep billing. So the things to carry with you on your walk are these. A VM deployment is a resource graph. The machine, its operating system disk, a network interface, an optional public IP, and a network security group, each with its own lifecycle and its own bill. The VM create command invents network resources by default, great for labs, dangerous for production. Size names are readable, family letter, virtual CPU count, feature letters, generation, and only S sizes can carry the single VM service level agreement. Generalized images stamp out many machines, specialized images clone exactly one, and serious custom images live in the Azure Compute Gallery. SSH keys over passwords on Linux, always. Cloud init for birth, extensions for life, and run command works even when the network does not. And the big one, stop still bills compute. Only stop deallocated stops the meter, and disks and static IPS bill regardless. Next time, in episode 3, VM disks, security and day 2 administration, we go one layer down, into the disks your machine lives on. The 3 disk roles, the 5 managed disk types, the encryption options, and the secure access patterns that keep remote desktop and SSH off the public internet. I will see you on your next walk.